So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
I want to get serious here for a moment. Very super lady and a dear friend passed away this past week, Sherry Martel. Speaking of professionalism and amateur hours, a lot of the today's, I don't care if you're female or male, couldn't take learn a lot from this lady. She put her nose to the grindstone. She was professional. She wanted everything to be perfectly right. And in a business which is extremely male-dominated, she didn't take a lot of crap, and she, you know, she kicked butt. She was just a super lady, she, you know, she touched a lot of us. She left her mark on the business, and she will be sorely missed.
Absolutely. Condolences go out definitely to the family and friends of Sherry Martel. I don't know what else to add. It's just kind of sad thing, you know. It kind of bums me out.
Well, yeah, it's they say there's no I guess they're doing a toxicology an autopsy and they'll know the cause of death. They were down in Tuscaloosa at her mother's where they've been staying, and Robert, her husband, I guess she had said she wasn't feeling well, had gone to lay down, and she was unresponsive when Robert tried to wake her. So I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, all too soon she's passed, you know, but she was certainly a pioneer for women in this business. I mean, you can say a lot about a lot of people, but Sherry not only could kick ass, and I say it that way, in the ring, she was tremendously, she knew how to work a corner, and she was more than just a set of boobs. I mean, much, 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 much more. And again, whether you're currently working for a big company or whether you're currently an independent wannabe, there's a lot to be learned from watching this lady, whether she was wrestling or whether she was managing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it's such a down note today.
Well, it is. And she would say, you know, she would say be upbeat and go on, be alive. It's, you know.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of lady she was. But
this whole death is also, you know, of course, affecting other things. There was reports out this weekend that WWE had a meeting whether they were going to blow off this Vince dying angle.
This has turned into it's a farce, sophomoric, childish, dumb, stupid. If I miss anything here, please throw the word in that I'm looking for. I'm going to tell you. I mean, it's been said by a lot of people. It's the whole 10 bell count has been booed by the fans. I admire them for that. Those who wouldn't stand up for the 10 bell count, I admire them even more heavily. I honestly turned on ECW Tuesday night for the first time in a long time simply because Benoit was going to be on there. Once I watched Joey and Taz stammer and be very uncomfortably go through this whole death scenario, I've been in this business almost, it'll be 47 years, the 4th of July of this year, this coming 4th of July, so I can't say I'm shocked by anything. I'm sometimes wonder at the stupidity of the people in our business. Then I turned on SmackDown and saw them do the start to 10 bell, and I got the hell out of Dodge. I wouldn't deal with that there.
You didn't watch the rest of the show?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to see it. And then I watched last night. If you'll notice, they got away from a little bit of that, but I think that since Stephanie is the head of creative and she went to the ring and listened to herself being booed and her father being booed and the whole stupid idea of being booed, if that doesn't tell you anything, I'm not sure what does. You know what? And we can talk to Kevin about this when he comes on, but you know, I was thinking today about this. There's come a time, I mentioned Kevin booking the Knoxville territory when I was producing the television, and I think he would agree with me that what we did there was what we felt was best for the business. Now, if it was best for the business, then it also cast Kevin Sullivan and Les Thatcher in a positive light as far as bookers and television producers or hosts or whatever our job was. But at some point, it's not about what's best for the business any longer. It's what's some person, their imagery of themselves or how they're going to change, reinvent the wheel. I don't know what it is, but it's stupid. And it's not good for the business. Now, I'm led to believe that Bonnie Hamer and USA has something to do with this because they want to go back to the days of shock to you, you know, where they shocked the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't always do that, first of all. Second of all, this is totally an opposite direction of when they were talking about going back to more realism, and we talked about the referees last, you know, and the referees calling the matches as though they're shoots. And here's the other thing. Let me explain to Bonnie Hamer, who I'm sure has never taken a bump in her friggin' life.
No.
Although she may run a network. I'm not saying I can run a network, but I left more wrestling knowledge than she has in the bathroom this morning. Thank you very much. and I know what makes this business tick. She and a lot of people actually work in this business, I'll say, but I won't get into that. But the point is, if you're selling this business as serious wrestling as which is what, as you know, I'm about, then something like the blinding of Junkyard Dog we talked about with Ted DiBiase a couple weeks ago, things like that actually jump off off the page at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they make sense. But when you're doing slapstick comedy or bad burlesque comedy or bad baggy pants comedy or bad television on a weekly basis, then stupidity doesn't jump off the then it doesn't shock anybody.
Right.
It goes back to this whole thing. I've said, I'm so tired of seeing three-way matches. I'm so tired of seeing handicap matches because you're beating, you're running it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So this does, and the sad thing here is everybody knows this is BS. It's crap. It's garbage. Nobody's dead. For God's sakes, when was the last time you saw a federal agent walk onto an interview set? I mean, and then the stupid thing with Crime Time. You want to buy a sandwich that Vince took a bite out of before he blew up. And then his daughter goes out there and cries. First of all, would they allow those idiots on television if this were real?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
So make up your friggin' mind. Is it or isn't it?
Right.
Either you're selling it as a shoot or you're selling it, and if it is, you're selling a shoot, then Vince can't ever come back on television again, or he's going to come back and miraculously walk. And here's the other thing. If you looked at the gutted car that they showed last night, there was no seat frames or anything. When was the last time you saw a limousine with no seats in it?
Right. Maybe he needed the room, I guess.
No, I'm you've heard me use the word logic and details and,
mm-hmm.
and cross your T's and dot your I's and they don't. Here's and one of the other things is I don't care. Hollywood special effects don't work on live television. They don't work. Do you realize that all the special effects? What's the latest? Some of the latest movies that are out, Ghost Rider, with Nicolas Cage
mm-hmm.
is now on DVD, that is out there. I haven't seen it, or the Silver Surfer. Do you realize that none of that stuff will work? You'll go back to the stupidity of TNA's electric cage
right.
nonsense. I mean, no, it's not funny. It's stupid. You're frigging with my business. You're frigging with something I've busted my ass to make, to sell to people. all my life, and it's stupid, and it bores me. And that's the best I can tell you.
Now, Paulie brings up a point. He said Raw did a 4.2.
Okay, so everybody wanted to see where they were going with this. Okay, so short term, it's a short term. Do you think, get back to me in 6 weeks.
Okay.
Or when Vince comes back from the dead, or however the hell they're going to do. I mean, it's just,
right.
You know, who cares? I mean, honestly, I'm, you know, it trivialized what was done with Owen Hart, with Brian Pillman, and with Eddie Guerrero, and then Sherry got a little blarb on the screen last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. And now we're going to do another 3-hour show. Vince is more over the screen when he's gone. We're talking about him on every segment. Now we're going to dedicate our lives to him. And when I go to the bathroom, I'm going to dedicate that to him. And when I change clothes, we'll dedicate that to him. It's, come on. Give me a break.
Right. It gets to be a little bit ridiculous.
Did I say stupid?
Yes.
Sophomoric, childish, ignorant, dumb.
And I agree with you. The ratings did spike. But
well, sure,
in
because they
weeks,
wanted to see what happened.
Right, and in 6 weeks, it's going to be gone, and everybody's still going to think it's
hokey. All right, is this going to sell a pay-per-view?
Right.
Or is Vince going to walk on water next Sunday?
I hope not.
Is he going to change water to wine or fish and bread into fish? You know, I mean, come on. It's not going anyplace. You know, I mean, it's not.
It's not long-term building.
Well, it's, and again, I'm sorry, Bonnie Hamer, I don't know how to run USA Network, and you don't have a friggin' clue how to run a wrestling, I mean, how to book wrestling, and obviously a lot of other people don't either, you know, so whatever.
Supplemental draft was also this weekend. Turns out Johnny Nitro and The Miz went to...
Ask me if I care.
Went to ECW.
No, I don't.
They didn't...
Okay. So,
you know, the draft.
I'm going to take a break here while Doc gets into
it's
important
still,
things of life. Okay.
It's still news, Les. I have to say this.
Whatever. Go ahead.
I find it funny that it's a weird draft that, in the fact that in a draft, you usually get one pick for one pick. SmackDown ended up with, I think, 7 picks over the supplemental draft, ECW at 2, and Raw had like 5. What is that? But Eugene, Victoria, Viscera, the Major Brothers, Hardcore Holly, Kenny Dykstra, are all going to SmackDown. Jillian Hall, William Regal, Daivari, Sandman, and Kendrick and London are moving to Raw, and you saw some of them last night. William Regal came in, flirting with Maria. You saw Kendrick and London in action. You saw the Sandman come out and start a few, or I guess an angle with Carlito. Yes.
Are you waiting for me to say something?
I was. I'm done now
okay.
on that part.
And what's your point? Now I said something.
It's
okay.
News.
Thank you.
It happened. Okay, Les has no comment. According to a report from the Pro Wrestling Torch, with the exception of about 2 or 3 people on the roster, a majority of the wrestlers from all 3 brands were not told ahead of time if they were going to be drafted to another brand or not, which I thought was kind of odd. I know they.
Well, I think Benoit was made aware, but this is supposed to be a short-term thing, and I can't believe it's not short-term with him. I mean, he's a good – he can be used as a teacher, but anybody – and I would say this, and if anybody includes my friend Michael Hayes that thinks Chris Benoit is not a main eventer, then you need to be drug tested.
Right.
I mean, it's not about who. It's not all about promos, although some of the stupidity of this day and age thinks it is, but it's not. You know, here's one of the most talented guys ever in this business, period, end of story. And, yeah, he can teach a little bit at ECW, but. From what I understand, they're going to use it that as a high level developmental, and that's cool, you know. But Benoit has a few good miles left on him and can be used. He took Bobby Lashley the other night to one of the best matches Lashley's ever had or ever is apt to have. So use that for what it's worth. You know?
But I guess some of it's supposed to be. Of not telling them, you know, the element of surprise. They don't want it leaked on the internet before it happens, blah, blah, blah. Some of the guys were upset, though, that they weren't told, they weren't trusted with the information, you know.
Yeah, well, I understand that, and I understand why they, you know, they would try to keep things a secret. What I don't understand is why TNA tried to keep it, and then they come out with the Scott Steiners, and, well, those of you who are on the internet, excuse me, it's called false advertising, Dixie, I don't care what you call it. You knew Scott Steiner wasn't going to be there,
right.
And you should have let the people know.
Right.
So, you know, that's a bad thing.
Here's a little interesting story that came out this week. The Coloradoan, they have an article up about The Undertaker and how him and a partner are starting to buy $2.7 million in real estate with plans to build an upscale office building.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting. Then,
I think that's great. He's obviously, well, he's, I would think that Mark is probably, fixed for the long term. I don't think we'll be doing any benefits for Mark anytime soon.
We may
be doing one for me next week, but I don't think we'll ever be doing one for Mark. No, I think that's great. I think it's great. He's taking care of what he's made and he's using it wisely.
Mm-hmm. And, I guess he's going to be out for, I guess they say, another 5 months. He's had surgery to repair a bicep that he tore off the bone not too long ago.
Well, you know, and here again, he's not an old man in terms of normal wear and tear on your body, but, you know, in terms of our business, he's got a little age on him, so it's going to take him a little while to heal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That body's been put through quite a bit, so.
We're going to take a break, guys. Coming up on the show, we've got, of course, Kevin Sullivan. He's going to be here. He's our featured guest. Brian Alvarez coming up next for a hot topic. Going to talk about the burning issue of the week, pay-per-view prediction results. We're going to be taking care of that. Les and I played the pay-per-view prediction game for TNA Slammiversary from Sunday. So we've got that to go over, find out who won. We've got the pay-per-view prediction game that we're going to play for Vengeance this coming weekend. And we're going to draw, Les, the winner of the Vince McMahon DVD tonight.
Okay.
Yes. And if they live in the country, we're going to call them live on the air and congratulate them. I know you're psyched.
I am. I'm going to change my pants here.
We're going to take a break, guys. We'll be back with Brian Alvarez coming up.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, man? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? what drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime. When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. Welcome back, guys. On the line right now for Hot Topic this week from the Figure Four newsletter and Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez is with us. Brian, thanks for returning to Hot Topic.
That's right. That's right.
How's your week been, Brian? Mine's not been so well, but how's yours been?
What's wrong with your week?
We don't want to talk about me. It's not my. You're the guest, my friend.
Well, maybe we've had the same bad week.
I don't know. We're on different parts of the country.
Oh, so it's not a wrestling related.
No, it's a Midwest related type thing. So no. You wouldn't understand, Brian, out there
he might understand.
I understand that it's summer, and I don't think we've had three sunny days since last summer, and that's enough to make a guy kill himself.
We had rain here today. It lasted about 10, maybe 15 minutes. And I stood and looked at it and amazed that it was actually we're having rain. We have it. My yard looks like a brown crew cut.
I prefer that about right now.
So, Brian, okay, the hot topic this week, we were talking about this during the break. We brought you up on it. I guess now WWE has installed a series of fines against referees who are inconsistent. Count differently, if you mess it up, I guess, and not play it straight, they're really serious about this whole thing, about the referees working these matches like they're shoots. So now, they've installed a series of fines now. And was wondering, what was your take on this?
My take is this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of for this week. And we've talked about this referee thing, and I've been very annoyed by the whole follow the rules thing in WWE lately, because if you want to fine the referees for inconsistencies, great, but the people they should be fining for inconsistencies are their own writing crew. I have now seen on ECW,
amen,
it's like on our board where there was a thing on our board where they're predicting, what bad finish are we going to have on ECW tonight? And it's a good question, because so far we've had a finish where, in a tag match, all four guys have hit the ring and the ref called for the bell, because that's not allowed. Okay? Then last week, we had, what was last week? It was something stupid. It was, help me out here. Something really dumb happened.
Got in a limo and it blew up.
No, it was. They made a tag. Somebody made a tag, and the guy who had made the tag took too long getting out of the ring. They weren't even double teaming the guy.
Uh-huh.
He just took too long to get out of the ring, more than the allotted 5 seconds.
Right.
And thus the match ended. This is two main events now in ECW.
Wow.
So the question is, what's it going to be this week? A closed fist, or not breaking on five in the corner? What's it going to be this week that'll give us a bad finish in the... And the reason that it annoys me is I watch SmackDown the following day and I watch Raw the following week, and I have tag matches on every show where there's four guys in the ring and it's not a DQ. I had matches on Raw this past Monday night where a guy made a tag and was in the ring for more than 5 seconds. Neither of those were a DQ. And it gets frustrating because, okay, now you're going to find the referees when you can't even keep your storyline finishes consistent.
I agree with you on that. There's the key, is consistency across the board, from beginning with the writers and then the talent and the but it has to be consistent with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that's part of telling a proper story. I don't care if you're writing Law and Order or Raw, don't you, Brian?
Yeah, you've got to have consistency. And I think the bigger story to me is, and this happens in every wrestling company, it happens in TNA, it happened in WCW, happens in WWE. Whenever there are problems, there are people that always look at solutions that have nothing to do with the problem. Like, this is like, I guess Vince McMahon is, you know, it's pretty clear that pay-per-view buy rates are down, and there is something to the fact that UFC is hot. UFC buy rates are not down, and they have almost as many pay-per-views as WWE, and this month they actually have more big shows than WWE, and their buy rates are not down. WWE's are, and part of that reason is because people are picking and choosing, and some people are picking UFC instead of WWE on certain months, and Vince's idea, I guess, now is, well, we need to have referees like UFC referees. Like, that has anything to do with the problem.
It does crack me up, but yeah.
WCW always had some sort of stupid solution to why things weren't working. It was always something so dumb that had nothing to do with the problem. And, you know, TNA, for 5 years, it's 5-year anniversary, and I've heard every excuse. We don't have the stars. We don't have good TV. We don't have primetime TV. We don't have this. We don't have that. The only thing left now is 2 hours. And when they get 2 hours, and if things are exactly the same, I don't know, maybe it's going to be the referees in TNA
need to abide by the
rules.
Let me run something by which is about TNA, and tell me if, you know, I think a lot of things, too, aren't necessarily things that just jump off the page and that you say it, but I think logic and common sense go fit in with the word consistency, too. And I was having this conversation with a guy the other day. I said, okay, James Storm almost blinds Chris Harris with a broken beer bottle. So now here James Storm still carrying the beer bottle, which is Cornett is the authority figure, obviously is saying, well, he didn't get it done the first time. Let's see if he can actually blind somebody with it this time. Why is he still carrying the friggin' beer bottle? No, but I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, figuratively castrates the authority figures. It makes no there's no sense to it whatsoever, because that was the whole angle 2 months ago. Am I right?
Yeah.
So would that not fit in with a consistency thing too? I mean, there's no common sense to these things. And I don't know that people, because you're immersed in the business as I am. We sit down and you know, break these things down, and analyze them. But I think with just in subconscious of the average fan, something triggers right or wrong, and too often it triggers wrong.
I think that I can actually relate this a little bit to the death of Vince McMahon, this big storyline. I think that in wrestling, I mean, there are certain things in wrestling that you just accept as, you just accept it, because it's how things are in pro wrestling. When Vince's limo first blew up, and the story was that he had been blown up to such a degree that nothing was left. He had been completely obliterated. To me, at that point, it was a cartoon. I mean, who gets blown up in a limo and there's nothing remaining, You know, the first several days after this, I thought this whole thing was great. It was so wacky. It was something you'd see in Lucha. Then we had Sherry die, which was a major problem.
Right.
And then they decided they were going to start trying to make this serious. He's really died. We're going to have people give tributes to him, and they're going to, you know, in some cases, like Teddy Long, a heartfelt tribute. I'm sure Teddy Long really felt this way, and he was really giving this tribute like Vince McMahon died. When it got to that point, all of a sudden it was like, you know, this ain't so funny anymore. The comparison to the questions about why does he use the beer bottle and that sort of thing, I think in pro wrestling, when you're going to make it wacky, that's fine. You can have things that make no sense because it's wacky, all right? When you're trying to make it a more reality-based product, a more athletic-based product, which WWE had been doing for quite a while now, and the stuff with the referees and everything like that, once you go that far, you've got to make everything consistent because then people are taking it more seriously, they're thinking about it more, and these things that pop out at you make you angry and frustrated. And this has happened to me watching a lot of these shows. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem watching any crazy angles in Lucha. It never bothers me mm-hmm. because I know I'm watching a live-action cartoon. When I'm watching a company that's decided, you know, we're going to have referees that are – it's going to be a shoot. We're going to have, same thing with TNA. It's more high spot oriented or whatever. I mean, when I see stuff like that, and then the storylines make absolutely no sense, I'm like, I get very frustrated.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. I mean, I think taking it so seriously on the show last night, and you know, having tributes and this and that, just made it worse.
It made it much worse.
My question, Brian, did you bid on the half-eaten sandwich that prime time?
Oh, God.
I did not bid on the sandwich.
Brian, like me, were you thinking when you were watching that segment of In Living Color, were you having flashbacks?
In Living Color?
Yeah, I remember, I think it was Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer did a bit that was pretty much the same thing. It was a home shopping network.
Oh, yeah, for Crime Time, yeah.
I was waiting for Crime Time to say, more money, more money.
Perhaps it's trademarked.
I was waiting on it. But
I don't know. I enjoyed it when it was wacky, and then when it wasn't wacky, I didn't enjoy it so much anymore. It just was like a boring show and a bad show, and that's not entertaining.
Well, you know, the sad thing is somebody said it was a 4.2 rating, and I said, okay, so people, it was so goofy the week before, and then Tuesday night was goofy, and Friday night was goofy, so we're tuned in Monday to see how goofy this is going to be. But it's at very best a short term. I mean, like I said to Doc, get back to me in 6 weeks and let me know what the ratings are.
Right.
Yes. That's always how it is. It's always, you're going to get a bump for some sort of shocking angle. And usually in wrestling, there's such a poor follow-up that all of the extra viewers that you get the next week and the next couple of weeks, you don't hook them with anything.
Right.
And I'm sure that, that's great. That show did a 4.2 rating. But when I watched that show, to me, if I'd given up on WWE for a certain amount of time and I came back because I heard Vince McMahon blew up, and then I watched that show, I can't fathom going, boy, I can't wait till next week.
Right.
Boy, I can't wait for the pay-per-view.
And neither can anybody else, and that's why
well,
it goes back down.
And there's the other thing, too, that I mentioned earlier, Brian. who's going to spend $40 Sunday because Vince blew up last Monday?
Well, here's one thing that you have to consider with this whole thing. The WWE business model is changing. And if you look at how much money they make from each of their different if you look at the breakdowns at the end of every quarter, it's no longer a case where pay-per-view is their big moneymaker.
Right.
I mean, they make tens of millions of dollars off TV rights, and I'd actually have to look back, but it may have been a case this past quarter where they made more on TV than they made on pay-per-view. And when your business model is turning in that direction, then it's not necessarily a bad thing to book TV for high ratings. Now, the problem is every wrestling promotion is its own business model. Just because WWE is making all this money off TV rights fees, it's not the same way with TNA. TNA's money is almost all coming from pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And so for them, their goal needs to be, we need to focus on our TV making people want to buy pay-per-views. It's not about getting a 1-3 rating or a 1-5 rating. It's about getting a good buy rate. WWE these days, it's starting to shift in the other direction, where obviously pay-per-view is always going to be important, but it's at almost equal importance right now with television. And if you can do something that's going to boost you up to a 4-2 on a consistent basis, I mean, that's good bargaining power.
Right. It's not happening, though.
Well, it happened for 1 week.
Well, yeah, for
we'll
1 week.
Next
but,
week.
You know, in 6 weeks, when the ratings go back down, they're going to be like, okay, what happened? Okay, let's do something else shocking.
Yeah. It's Vince always, I mean, he is a very inconsistent man, which is really one of the reasons why the storylines are so inconsistent, because anybody who wants to book consistent storylines has to deal with him changing his mind on perpetually. Every day his mind has changed. I mean, just the whole Vince is dead storyline, it's been a week, and I can't even tell you how many different ideas they've had about that storyline in the last 7 days.
Right.
And God knows how many times it's going to change before Monday.
Right.
I mean, Monday may be the end. We'll see. I don't think it will after the 4-2, but if this show would have done a 3 rating or a 3-2, I guarantee next Monday it would have been all over. But I got a 4-2, so we've got
we have 3 hours to pay tribute to Vince.
Yes.
Yep.
3 whole hours.
That's unacceptable.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think that sums it up, Brian.
Yeah. When I heard that, I mean, I got an email last night before I watched the show, and they were like, Raw's 3 hours next week, and I was like, no. No, come on. I thought somebody's playing a rib on me. This is just, you know, they're trying to annoy me or whatever. No, it's 3 hours long. Another 3 hour show.
I know. They just had one 2 weeks ago.
They have, let's see, 2 hours of Raw, hour of ECW, 2 hours SmackDown. That's 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then add 6 with the pay-per-view and Raw. So you're asking them to do 11 hours of television in 7 days.
Well, and 2 of those shows are 3 hour tributes to Vince McMahon.
Yep.
Hey.
Boy, I can't wait for
Raw.
Well,
you know, I said before you came on, I said, in death, we're getting more Vince on our TV than we did when he was alive.
Yeah. And people were excited, like, boy, he blew up. We won't have him on TV for a while. Ha ha! Think again.
Well, you know, the one thing I said, too, last night, that Stephanie walked out there on her own to get booed and the people doing the what chants and everything. So, I mean, whether she listened or not, it's a horse of another color.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is she must have got the point.
Right.
You know?
I think a lot of people just wanted to tune in and be entertained by what – I mean, there is potential to do something entertaining with the storyline of Vince disappearing. Because
I think on WWE.com they'll start selling Vince wings. His angel wings.
Hey, there are a million ideas, and as usual, I mean, what they've come up with so far is the worst of any that I've heard. So I don't know what that means.
Vince wings. I'm picturing this right now.
Well,
or a little Vince halo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, I want to thank you for coming on. Guys, you can check out more Brian Alvarez over at Wrestling Observer Live. Comes on every Sunday. That's at WrestlingObserver.com. Also, the Figure 4 Weekly Newsletter. It's at www.f4wonline.com.
Figure4online.com.
Brian,
just for Doc.
Brian, you've got a special guest tomorrow on Figure 4.
I do. Tomorrow on Figure 4 Daily, Les Thatcher.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'll have to tune in for that.
I haven't heard him in a long time.
Les Thatcher, we found him.
Yes.
All right, guys, check that stuff out. Brian, I want to thank you for being on, and I guess we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
And
all right, thanks for
tomorrow.
Having me.
I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
That's the plan.
All right, Brian.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Brian Alvarez from Figure 4 Weekly Newsletter here on Wrestling Weekly. Les, it's time to pick this winner of the McMahon DVD. Last week we had, we were sort of celebrating at the time the death of the character of Vince McMahon, of Mr. McMahon, excuse me.
You were. We weren't.
I was. It was a goof. So we're going to give away this McMahon DVD. We had lots of entries. I've literally, Les, thrown these into a hat.
Well, good.
I'm going to pick one right now.
All three of them, right?
Actually, there was quite a bit. give me a drum roll, Les, or something. That was pretty good. All right, here we go, and we can't call this guy because it's a foreign number, but Michael Sale from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, is the winner of the Vince McMahon DVD. So congratulations to Michael. And
more importantly, Michael, thank you for putting up with our nonsense here on Tuesday night.
And thanks for listening, man. And I guess we'll have another contest soon in the future. I was kind of looking forward to being able to call somebody, you know.
If you want to see a parallel to the current product called professional wrestling, you might try America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
They have goofs on there, too.
Yes, they do. I actually watched that, and it was...
and it's sad. I mean, there's the odd, talented person, but a lot of it is, okay.
I don't know exactly which episode it was, but it was one where, like, four transvestites came out in a row.
I missed that one.
You missed that?
Yeah, I missed that one.
It was sometime in the last week. I don't know when the show actually airs or nothing. I just caught it at a certain time, but...
Well, it's currently airing now.
Oh, at this moment?
Started at 8 o'clock Eastern on, NBC.
I guess it's on more than once a week then.
I don't know. It's on. It's 2 hours tonight on 8 to 10 Eastern on NBC.
Excellent.
I have my DVR set.
Cool. Les, it's time to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. Of course, it was TNA's Slammiversary. There were three matches that we didn't choose the winner of because they hadn't happened yet. Those were Abyss defeating Tomko, Sting defeated Christopher Daniels, and the team of Rhino and Cinchy defeated LAX, which I thought was kind of surprising considering, LAX is the ex-champions and all that stuff. So I don't know what's going on there. But let's start it off, my friend. Frank Wycheck and Jerry Lynn took on James Storm and Ron Killings. Now, at the time last week when we played the game, it was supposed to be a one-on-one match. That was changed, I believe, 2 days after we played the game. Turned into a tag team match. And Les, my friend,
yes,
you got a point on this one. Frank Wycheck and Jerry Lynn defeat James Storm and Ron Killings. You actually even went so far as to call the DQ finish, but that didn't happen. But you get the point anyway, my friend, because you picked that.
I got a point.
You got a point. Next up was VKM taking on the Damaja. And
I don't get a point here, and they don't get a point for bad booking.
And Basham with Christy Hemme. VKM won this, which I thought was kind of strange. But I guess Damaja and Basham have now hooked up with Tomko.
I read where quite a few people think this is the worst match on the show.
Really?
I did not watch the show. It may have been, may not have been. I still say booked properly. Danny and Doug are valuable to that to any company, and but obviously the booking wasn't smart booking. You got a brand new team. You got your VKM has been there, like done that 100 years. So you need to get these other guys over. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to wise up. Okay,
it, guys. Listen, VKM wins that. You and I had went with Basham and Damages, so
yes,
there's no points there. Eric Young defeated Robert Roode with Ms. Brooks. You and I had went with Eric on this one, both of us.
Well, we had to, right? Because otherwise you're going to get fired.
Yep. 2-1 so far. Bob Backlund defeated Alex Shelley, which I thought was kind of odd. You apparently also went with Shelley on this one, too, so apparently you thought it was kind of odd. Bob Backlund gets the win. Wow.
Well, see, to me, here again, in a legitimate shoot, as old as Backlund is, he probably is going to win this. But in a work match, it didn't make sense. Shelley's the young guy. He's the one that's got a future with a company. And so it didn't make sense to me. But anyway.
Right. No points on that one. The next up was Saban versus Jay Lethal, Black Machismo. I know you love that gimmick. Jay Lethal ended up getting the win.
I'm watching it now. It's called America's Got Talent.
You went with Saban on this one. I went with Lethal. That's a point for me. We're tied. Team 3D.
I want to say that the best part of TNA's show last week was Nash with a flower in his ear. He and Gandhi praying or moaning or whatever the hell they were doing. That's what I'd waste my TV time on. Go ahead.
That was the moment, the defining moment of the pay-per-view.
The defining moment of Thursday night, in fact, yes.
Team 3D took on the team of Rick Steiner and Road Warrior Animal was a surprise partner for Rick Steiner.
Right.
We both went with Team 3D on this one. We got a point. The final match was Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Cage, and Chris Harrison there. Angle did come out on top. He gets the title back. And Les, we both went with Angle on this one. We both chose the new champion. So not only am I proud of you know, my ability to foresee the future.
okay.
But we did end up tying, though. So it's kind of like kissing your sister.
We're pretty cool, huh?
We are pretty cool. Let's go ahead and move on as far as pay-per-view prediction games. Let's play this one for the pay-per-view that's coming up this weekend. It's WWE Vengeance, Les.
Okay.
All the matches are championship matches for this pay-per-view.
Okay.
Yes, let's start off with the women's match. Of course, the women's champion, Melina, is going to be taking on Candice tonight.
Sunday. Yeah, there's a four-star match if I ever saw one.
You think Melina's a pretty good wrestler?
She's okay. She's not really good, but she's under the currently Victoria, Mickie James, Jillian Hall are probably the best talents out there, honestly,
okay,
as far as wrestlers. But you know, I've got to take Melina with this one.
You're gonna take Melina. I'll go with you on that one. I'm gonna take Melina. Cruiserweight Championship. God, how long has it been since they've had a Cruiserweight Championship match on a pay-per-view?
Lord knows.
I almost forgot they had a championship. But it's going to be Chavo Guerrero taking on Jimmy Wang Yang.
Well, you know, I don't know. They'll probably leave it on Chavo, would be my guess. Because Jimmy's not getting that much exposure as is, but
no, he really isn't. And I usually go with Jimmy on this one, you know, to throw in, you know, throw in a little swerve here and there, throw in a surprise. But it seems like, well, first Jimmy's manager, valet, I guess, was canned, and Jimmy really hasn't gotten that much.
Well, what's
TV
that got
time
to do with him winning the match?
Well, he hasn't really got that much TV time since it happened. So what I was figuring when they first let her go was that this was time for a Jimmy Wang Yang push without her. That push didn't happen.
I see.
So I'm going to go with Chavo on this one, too.
All right.
World Tag Team Championship match, this one between Kate and Murdoch versus the Hardys. Kate and Murdoch being the champs right now on this one.
I'd say Kate and Murdoch hang on to it.
Yeah. This is going to be a toughie for me. I'm going to say...
I'd say they hang on to the title now. That doesn't mean the Hardys couldn't win on a DQ.
Right.
But Kate and Murdoch keep the title.
Kate and Murdoch keep the titles. Boy. I am going to say the Hardys on this one.
Okay.
U.S. Championship match. The champion MVP is going to be taking off Ric Flair. Big build-up to this one.
MVP wins.
MVP?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think Flair, you know, I don't know, they just put the belt on the kid.
Mm-hmm.
So probably, yeah.
Boy. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go with you on that one, too. MVP. Intercontinental Championship. It's going to be between Morella and Umaga.
Oh, my God.
Santino Morella.
Well, I'm not much for gimmick champions, so that would... eliminate Eddie or Umaga. Morella, you know, I saw somebody list him as a mid-card talent on the new SmackDown roster, and I'd say no. Mm-hmm. He's not. He's an undercard talent at best. I guess Morella's going to keep it. Although I would put Umaga over in this particular match, although I wouldn't put the strap on him.
Right. That's what I think is going to happen also. I think it's going to be maybe a DQ finish. Morella wins by DQ. Something to that effect. But coming out basically with Umaga looking better and Morella hanging on to that title. World Championship match. This is the last chance for this man, Batista. He's going to be taking on the World Champion Edge.
I think Edge stays on, keeps the title.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm going to go...
Which doesn't mean that, Batista won't get a shot at a title later.
Right.
Through some hook or crook. But, yeah, I would leave it on Edge.
Boy, this is such a tough one. I'm going to go with Batista on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say that, I don't know, somehow he ends up with this. WWE Championship Challenge is going to be Cena basically taking on four people. No, I guess this is going to be, all 5 men in the ring at the same time.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
It's going to be Foley, Lashley, Booker T, and Randy Orton.
And Cena.
And Cena, of course, yes.
I think Cena retains.
You think Cena retains?
Yeah.
I think if there's any point for Cena to lose this, it should be in this match. That's what I think. And I wouldn't pick Foley to do it naturally. I would say, Orton's been getting so huge of a push lately.
Well, here's
considering.
The thing. Here's the thing. Cena is the best, which has nothing to do with in-ring talent here, but Cena is the best representative for the company in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Personality, his PR work, one thing another. So that's I just don't. Booker, I don't see. He's just walking in the door. Lashley is not ready to carry that company any way, shape, or form. Mick is part-time at best.
Right.
So.
And Orton, well.
Randy's being pushed because of shorties, but he's been in the doghouse. So
right.
I don't know. I'm going to stick with Cena.
I'm going to stick with Cena also, but I am going to go back since the game's not over yet. And I'm going to say, I wasn't really sure about this, but I'd like to change my mind on this one about the championship match, the Cruiser Championship match. I'm going to say Jimmy Wang Yang.
Okay.
On that one. So let me erase that and put that there. And that's it, guys. It's WWE Vengeance live this Sunday, only on pay-per-view, guys. Check it out, man.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, of course, still to come, Kevin Sullivan is going to be on the program.
Yes, he is.
He's a good man.
Hey. Okay.
He's a good man. The Taskmaster. I like
go
that.
With that.
Did you like
he's
the
a
task?
He's a longtime friend. We've spent a lot of social time together. And
did you like the whole Taskmaster gimmick?
One of the things I didn't like was Hogan falling through the floor into the Cave of Horrors or whatever the hell that was. I thought that was silly. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, now see, when Kevin did, we'll talk to him about this, he blinded Dusty's sister in Tampa by accident. I think it was with ink or something. Anyway, but you see, it worked because they were selling the whole wrestling business is in a serious aspect, in a serious vein,
mm-hmm.
right? So this angle jumped out at you. Again, when you've got Boogeyman and guys, I mean, all sorts of goofy stuff going on.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It stands out as being dumb.
Yeah, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But it doesn't stand out in a good way, is what you're getting at.
Right, right. Okay. I want to say, the business is not going to die. It's not going to die. But it's, I just don't see the sense in trying to reinvent the wheel. And I know I keep saying that, but I will continue to say it, I guess, till I die.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't see it. I don't see the value, It's like, baseball survived the designated hitter, but they're not going to change the shape of the field.
Right.
TNA, I hope you're listening. They're not going to change, you know, three strikes and four balls. I mean, things like, I mean, there are basics and foundations to everything, and mm-hmm. wrestling has its basics and foundations. And I've talked about, you know, I mentioned this thing with USA, wanting them to do shock value. And
all right.
But somebody's got to explain to USA what about the wrestling business. They're the only game in town, so there's not a big bunch of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, this whole blowing up people and things like that, realize that that was one of the things that WCW overdid and tried to do to jump ratings in their dying days.
Yes. There's a lot of that.
And it comes back to the old thing, if you don't remember history, you tend to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good thing.
Now, there's a guy in the chat room. His name is CWA Announcer. The poor guy, I mean, he's had trouble getting our stream all night. Now, I know one of the networks that we air on was having some audio difficulties tonight, technical problems. But this poor guy has been trying to get on here. And the only reason he wants to listen to the show tonight is to ask you, Les, how your show in Elizabeth in Tennessee went.
It went all right.
I'm sure he'll be listening to this on replay.
So. It wasn't my show. So anyway, but yeah, the show itself was fine. They had a decent show, you know, with some good talent.
Did you see any diamonds in the rough as far as training?
No, so, you know, some kids, decent kids. Nobody jumped off the page at me, no.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't give you a major report because there isn't one. But
did you drive out there or did you fly out?
Sure. No.
You do it the old school way.
Well, I mean, I for long distances I asked for a plane ticket, but I'm going to drive to Detroit on Friday, which is about a 4-hour drive, and I guess to Elizabeth. Well, we actually stayed in Johnson City, which was about 5 hours, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Actually, we went down. We stayed with Mark Curtis's widow Pam and her husband Jeff. We went and visited with them and had dinner with them and the kids and you know and the whole thing. So we kind of made a little social thing out. And then we went on down to visit our sister-in-law, my wife's oldest brother's wife is in the hospital down in Asheville, North Carolina. And so we went down to visit her the next day. And so we just kind of made a little John out of it.
It makes it a little easier when, you know, you got people on the way that you can go visit. You can make a whole big thing out of
well,
it.
Well, you know, yeah. Sure.
More fun
sure,
that
sure,
way.
Sure. And then we come back through Knoxville. My son and grandson is there. So
see, that's kind of how I like to do things.
It was like the tour.
Yeah. If you're going to drive that far, I mean, hey, stop by and see somebody that's on the way or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, I know a lot of these guys that they've got a show, you know, they live here in the Midwest or whatever, they've got a show they're going to do in Pennsylvania. They'll drive straight to Pennsylvania, straight home, same day, you know.
Right.
Wow, I couldn't handle that. I have to take it slow, I don't know why.
Well, you got to realize I'm used to running. I mean, it was not uncommon that I would drive to Charleston, South Carolina, work a show, and drive back to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Then drive to Roanoke, Virginia the next day and drive back to Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I'm used to that. It's just I try and, you know, at this point in my life, I try not to do that.
Right. Yeah. I have a question for you. I was reading, and I like to read some of my favorite books over and over, like every few months I'll go back and read them again. And I'm reading Terry Funk's book, More Than Just Hardcore.
Yeah.
Over again. That's the one I'm working on again right now. And I noticed in his book he was talking about how, he had a whole chapter basically on road stories. The kind of antics they had when they were on the road. They got bored, you know, you're driving all over the place. But, you know, at the end of these stories he says, you know, the guys today, they don't really get that kind of bonding with each other. They're not stuck in the same place for hours and hours because, you know, everything's planes and jets now. And,
sure.
You know, you fly to the show, you fly home. I was wondering what your take on that was. I mean,
well, it's true. It's true. Well, it was a different era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you heard me say it when watching the Hall of Fame inductions, when Dusty called had Arn and Flair and Harley stand up and that, I said, you know, let's go do it again. Never mind, you know, what problems it incurred with driving and travel times and or the money wasn't always great. But damn, it was fun. You know, we had a great time. I mean, were there ups, were there down periods? Sure. You know, were there problems? Absolutely. If you're alive, there's going to be problems, you know.
Right.
But it was just, it was great. It was great. And it wasn't about corporate America. And when I say that, I understand the value. Because it's like, you know, go back to the USA wanting to run Raw or TNA wanting, or Spike wanting to run TNA. BS. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say it any nicer than that. You know, but it was fun, man. We just, there was a bonding. I was saying we used to play a game in the car a lot of times. Like I say Ric Flair, and you take the F from Flair and give me Frank Dusick, and then I take
the name game.
Yeah, and then I take the D from Dusick and give you Danny Davis, and you take the D from Danny Davis and give me Doug Basham, and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a guy by the name of George Strickland and I. Went to a draw from Nashville to Birmingham one time, which is about 200 and some change. We knocked everybody else in the car out of the game, and but I used to, but see, that was the thing too. As a kid, I mean, going back to when I was 9, 10 years old, I had names of wrestlers that if I mentioned them now, you would say, "What, huh?"
Right.
Some of them I don't even remember anymore. But I mean, you know, but that was the way we killed time, you know.
But, okay, when you're playing this game, and here's a question I always have, because we tried to do this on a road trip once, and we had problems, like, exactly knowing the rules. But how long do you get to give your answer?
Well, not a day or a week.
Right.
I mean, you know, you within a reasonable amount of time, you know.
That I think that was our problem, was the reasonable amount of time and how long that exactly was. But and then there was, can we do ring announcers? Can we do managers? Can we do, you know.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, that was it. We did wrestlers, you know.
All right.
Wrestlers are people that lace their boots up and wrestle.
All right.
So that was, you know, pretty much what.
You know,
was.
I
but
guess,
anyway,
I guess that's
yeah,
the new
so,
version.
Yeah, it was a different time. Speaking of reading books, I excuse me, pardon me again. Travis Werbling, who referees for Harley, well, he's actually refereed around the country, broke into business in Texas. But anyway, he's living out in Eldon, referee for Harley now, sent me, or bought, I haven't received it yet, but is sending me the, what's it, the book about the NWA. I can't think of the exact title now, but it was his Father's Day present. He's, I'm not really his father, but anyway, it was his Father's Day present to me. And so I'm looking forward to reading that. It's about how the NWA was formed and you know, the, about, all about the alliance and supposedly the monopoly. And talk about monopoly, if there is not one now, there ever was one, you know.
Yeah, I'm just, in the book again, I'm just now getting to the point where Vince has taken over the country and the territory.
You know what,
dying,
though? Honestly, I think if Vince were to tell you to speak up and tell you the truth, he'd tell you it was a bad decision.
Really?
Sure. Oh, I mean, as far as for his ego and his wallet, it was a great decision. But
sure.
In terms of the wrestling business, if anybody cares, it was a bad decision. Right now, you're talking about the matches, the people that are in main event title matches shouldn't even be on that pay-per-view, some of them.
Right.
There's no depth. I was watching that thing last night. My wife said, "Why are you?" Well, why are you watching this crap? And that's exactly what she, my wife doesn't usually swear, but she used another word besides crap.
Okay.
How can you stand to watch this crap? And I said, simply because I have to talk about it tomorrow night.
All right.
And that's the only reason I watched it. But the truth is, the talent is so shallow. Then I watch OVW, and it's even more shallow. There's nothing. There's very few guys down there that actually have any talent. You know, they look like goofs, and I mean, they look like athletes, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They do goofy skits, and it's just they're cutting their nose off to spite their face, as it were, and it's not good for the business long term. No, but I mean, when I say that. Don't get me wrong, you can't kill the rest. I mean, there'll always be a market for even the stupidity we're talking about tonight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it won't be me.
Right.
I mean, it won't. And when I say that, it won't. And you know what? I don't care who likes it or don't like it. I mean, that's not what I work at. That's not what I busted my ass for, and it's not what I believe in.
But I guess what I'm about to ask is, let's say that you were in the position, let's go back in time. You still owned Heartland. This was not a national company yet. But let's say, you had a choice. You could do wrestling the way that you wanted to do it, the way, the foundations and the basics, and keep that alive, or you could make billions of dollars and turn it into a farce.
Well, if I could make a comfortable living at keeping it the way it was, I would.
But you would forego this?
No. I'm not. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I won the lottery, I wouldn't turn it down.
Right.
But no. If this, let me tell you something. If what I've done the last 47 years is about money, I wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I wouldn't have done it.
So do you think that Vince McMahon?
And let me say this, for the money that some of the people are making in this business today, I can tell you any damn thing you want to hear.
Right.
I can lie to you just as well as the rest of you. And believe me, when I tell you, I don't even have to ask. And I know too many of the people that are in this business. They don't believe in what's going on. But for the money they're getting, they'll say they do. Okay?
It seems to me.
We're all hookers, baby. Yeah. It's a matter of establishing price.
It seems to me, and I was a child at the time, so I don't know. But it just seems to me like Vince McMahon was never that big of a wrestling fan, and that he just wanted business and money.
Well, that's very possible. Well, see, that's the other problem too, is too many of us that really love the business.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, the money is. Don't get me wrong. It's not that they don't want the money. It's just that it's secondary.
Yeah, and the reason I say that it seems like he was not so much a wrestling fan, but more of a money fan, is because it seemed like as soon as he took over the company, like he had thoughts about going national before he even bought it.
Well, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and that was
sure
like the first thing that he tried to do.
Yeah,
when he got the company, so it just seemed to me that it was kind of all about money, and it wasn't really about wrestling. It was more about show business.
Well, I don't know. I'm not ashamed that I'm a professional wrestler. I've never been ashamed of that, and I get the feeling that some of those people are,
mm-hmm.
Which is sad. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of how I've done it. I'm proud of my feelings and how the stance I take. Now, you can say that's old school. You can say it's antiquated. You can say whatever the hell you want. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what I've done. I'm damn proud of it. I've done it with all the sincerity and the passion and feeling that I could possibly do it. And that's why I do. That's the only way I know how to do things.
Well said. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, our featured guest is going to be here, Kevin Sullivan, the mighty, legendary Kevin Sullivan. He's going to be with us on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around, man. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
There's the latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. Welcome back to Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now is our featured guest for tonight, wrestling legend himself, Kevin Sullivan is here. Kevin, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's your first time on the show.
Thank you, Doc, and thank you, Les, for having me on.
You know what? I was telling Doc, I said, you know, you and I could probably fill this whole 2 hours with just a bunch of goofy stories that we could talk about our years we've spent together doing one thing and another. I was thinking about in Boston a few years ago, in the middle of the night, driving up to the house you grew up in, and you getting out and sitting on the front step. But I was afraid we would get arrested if you didn't.
Yeah.
Stories we can't tell, huh?
Yeah. We could tell that one.
You know what I told Doc though, and I said we get into it a little bit. The business has changed. We both know the business has changed. But
To me, the one thing that we did with that, call it whatever, I call it Polynesian Pro Wrestling, when we did it in Knoxville,
yeah.
The wrestling part was serious. The wraparounds we had fun with, and I said, there's a lot of people today that take a lesson from that because they don't know how to separate one from the other.
Exactly, Les. And, you know, call it a fan or a mark, I'm a mark for wrestling still, you know what I mean? And I think everybody in the business associated with the business is a mark, and I don't think that's a bad term, you know? I'm still a mark for a great match. But what I see now is almost like a cookie cutter. And this is no knock to anybody because they're all doing the best job that they can, but they don't know their history.
Right.
And that's today in the world. You know, I mean, the world doesn't even know its history. And I mean, I could go back and there was once a star in our dressing room, Les, when Lou Thesz walked in, he said, "Who's he?" You know, and this is 25 years ago, and this is when it started.
Right.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, the characters are gone. And the great talkers, there's few and far between now. When you and I were in the business in Knoxville and every other place, I mean, Ronald Fuller talked them into the building. The Stomper did not talk him into the building because he didn't talk.
Right.
Mark didn't talk, but he talked him into the building. Curtis certainly talked people into the building. Superstar Graham, Dusty, Blackjack Mulligan. I mean, you and I were lucky. We saw some of the greatest talkers of all times. And, you know, I stole everything they had. And, yeah, I mean...
You know what? That's one of the things, too, that I have mentioned on this show repeatedly, what a great promo Mulligan was, and because he had a cast of characters. And then when I watched the Guest Booker DVD, when you were picking you, and you said, I want this guy as one of the best talkers of all time, and I said, so few of us either remember or even know that, and that amazes me, because, you know, everybody talks about Foley and Flair, and which is not to say they aren't great promos, or Terry Funk, but... Mulligan, to me, because of the cast of characters, is just so unique and stood out from everybody else.
Yeah, and, Les, you know, I was lucky enough, you know, to have the great run that I had with Dusty. And everybody says Dusty made me. Yes, he did. But it was Blackjack Mulligan that set the groundwork for me.
Right.
I mean, Blackjack and I, when Dusty wasn't out of the territory at different times, it was Blackjack that said, "Bring Mulligan in from the kitchen. Bring the kids out from the yard. I got to tell you how evil this man is." I mean, Blackjack was the one that got me over initially with his talking. And, you know, he sacrificed his sons for me, which got me over. And, I mean, week after week, we went to the same building, and I'd say, "He's going to talk him into the building again, and I don't have to do much but do a few chops and this giant down, he flopped like a fish for me and made my job a lot easier."
Right.
And every week, you know, he'd reach out and say, "I need your help, people, because last week, he, you know, him with the Hayes, they screwed me, so this week I've gone and he's going to handcuff the Hayes to the ringside post or whatever." And Mulligan, besides being a great talker, as you know, we worked for him when he owned the territory.
Sure.
Had a brilliant mind for wrestling. And that's one of the sad things is people don't know, besides being a great performer and a great big man, one of the best big men to ever be in our business, he could talk to them just by his expressions. And
yes.
He could be happy and sad and glad and have you in tears. And I mean... I just fed off of his energy, and I think, you know, everybody in the dressing room did, along with Dusty's energy.
You know, I was saying to Doc earlier, and see if you don't agree with me here. Like I mentioned that when you and I, when I was producing television in Knoxville and you were doing the booking, we'd sit down together. We knew that if we did what was best for the business and it was successful, then it would be also good for Kevin Sullivan and Les Thatcher, because people would say, well, Thatcher's a good TV guy and Sullivan's a good booker.
Yeah.
But at some point, it has changed, and it's no longer about what's best for the business. It's people trying to establish a legacy or to reinvent the wheel, and the wheel doesn't need to be reinvented.
Yeah, and the thing that I was lucky enough to be around a lot of smart guys. Eddie Graham, I mentioned to you Ken Lucas earlier. I mean,
Leo Garibaldi.
I mean, people don't even know who Leo was. He was
right.
40 years ahead of his time. His programs matched what was happening, and he'd give you a hint of a heel turn 6 months before that. I mean, Bobby Shane, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But one thing I learned from all these guys, you know, people always knock the bookers for putting themselves on top. Well, the thing was, the booker, the owner, they knew they were going to be there for X amount of time. But I was smart enough to realize from all these guys, because one time Mike and I were the tag team champions of Florida, and Mike injured himself, and Eddie came out of retirement, and we were supposed to drop the belts to the Samoans. So everybody thought, well, Eddie, this is a big show in St. Petersburg, you know, the Bayfront Center, which was our big show once every 2 months. Certainly, you know, we're not going to drop the belts, and if they do, Sullivan's going to do the job. Well, Eddie went and did the job. And Lee Fields built the biggest house with Bobby Shane, and when he came out of retirement, everybody thought he was going to put Bobby over. Well, he did a hard way for Bobby and put Bobby over, and the excuse was he was out of the ring, and it made sense. Well, I was smart enough to realize, yeah, I was the booker, but being the heel, I could lose every night as long as I got my heat back after the match.
Right.
It didn't matter. And I think that these guys today, and again, it isn't a knock, it's the writers, they actually think somebody's taking a scorecard and saying, in St. Louis, Sullivan lost a Blackjack Mulligan. In St. Petersburg, Sullivan lost to Blackjack Mulligan or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they forgot what's, some of them have forgot what's good for the business. And my theory one time, again, another guy, Jim Barnett, told me to be a dragon slayer, there has to be a dragon.
Right.
So, you know, a heel's job is to make the baby face look good and shine eventually, but the heel has to get over, but his eventual product is putting the baby face in a better light than he had when he came into the match with him or the blow-off with him.
Sure. You know, one of the things that jumped off that DVD at me when you were when you were laying out your cards to build your champions, and you said to Sean, the guy that's on the DVD with you, and there'll be no ref bumps. And I thought, oh, my God, that means that 99% of the independent shows today couldn't have a show. There's no. What do you mean no ref bumps? There's got to be run in and ref bumps in every friggin' match. But that's everything is overdone. I was saying to Doc, I said, you know, the writers up at WWE found out about a handicap match, and now they have one every week, which makes them impotent. They're useless.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about – they beat this stuff until it's dead. It's a dead issue, and they don't understand that the less they do it, the more impressive and the more it jumps off the page at you.
Right. I can remember the first time a girl wrestled a man. It was in the Omni, and it was the girl from Georgia, Les, Joyce Grables.
Sure.
She wrestled. She was over, and they put her over for about 8 weeks, which is unheard of to bring a girl into the Omni for 8 weeks back then, because we didn't have girls on the card every week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they put her over every girl 8 weeks, and she beat him like in about 2 minutes at max. Well, they had her finally going to wrestle Saito. Well, the finish that Ole came up with was one of the most brilliant finishes of all time. He said, when the bell rings, Joyce, you go to leg dive, so you throw in sight, they'll give you a forearm and knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it certainly made sense to me. It made sense to the people because they were there to see a cartoon show, and what they saw was reality.
Right.
You know.
Surprising, too, when something like that happens.
Yeah.
Definitely. I have a question for both of you guys. Do you feel like, you know, the way this is done today, the even Steven booking, the, you know, I got to put myself over type thing, do you think it's just a lack of trust between the two parties in getting the other one over?
Without a doubt. I mean, first of all, and I'm a wrestler. I was a wrestler and booker, so I know both sides. There's a wrestler, when you bring two of them in the room, one of them's going to be mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And how I used to approach it, would I bring two guys in, I say, I'd like you to do me a favor. Because that's what you're doing for your opponent, who is your workmate. You're actually doing him a favor.
Right.
And I would tell the guy, try to be as straight as I could with him, well, next week, this is what you're going to do, and that's why we're doing the job. You're doing the job, and I'm going to be pushing this guy in a different light, and as Les can attest to this, baby faces and heels have two different mentalities.
Sure.
And it's easier to get a heel to do a job than it is a baby face. And because the baby face is out there being exposed, the heel can still lose and keep the seat. But a baby face, they've been programmed now to think that this is the end. And it's like I said, nobody really keeps a scorecard. A guy can do it, as one time we did it, Les, in Knoxville with the kid that used to do jobs that was really tough, Ricky Carter.
Yeah.
Well, Les and I brought a guy in for 6 weeks, like he was the second coming, and Ricky had done jobs after jobs after jobs, and we brought this guy in just for TV, like we're getting him ready to work against the Stomper, who had switched babyface and had a similar gimmick. Well, Ricky Connors was a job boy, and Les and I came up with the idea we'd have Ricky, who everybody around town knew was good with his fist. The guy went for his finish was he used to come off the rope with a double axe handle. Well, Ricky got up after taking an axe whooping and just knocked the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the talk of the town. So the guy, we fooled the people, and then Ricky meant something on the card, and we gave Ricky a few wins, and he actually started drawing a little money underneath. But I think it's like anything else, if you explain to the guys where they're going rather than this is what we want you to do tonight and keep them in the closet, Tyler just said it to anybody.
Yeah, and don't you think, too, Kevin, that there's no build-up? I mean, all of a sudden they just threw wrestler A and wrestler B together in a title match, and all of a sudden, you know, or these two guys are in a number one contenders match, and you've never seen the one guy before, and the other guy's done six jobs in a row.
Right.
There's no logic to any of this.
Well, and to give them their due, Les, and you know this, we used to produce an hour show for a local region. When it became the 2 and 3 hour shows, these guys weren't thinking, what are we going to do with these guys next week? They're saying, how are we going to put a TV show together by Friday? The show to be done for Monday. Now, they run the gun.
Right.
So giving them their just due is, I don't want to sound braggadocious, but Les, when you said it looked easy, yeah, I've been there, so you work backwards. And you kind of know where you're going. Where these guys today, again, it's no knock, they're under the gun, and they have to create a show every week. And I think sometimes they're so deep into the forest they can't see the trees. I think they really need somebody on the outside that isn't in the office that just watches the matches and grades them and says, well, why did you have a guy be a tag team partner? I saw this about 2 years ago. Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio were against each other for 5 weeks in tag matches and singles. And then the following week, they were tag team partners with no build-up where Eddie could have went to the first of the show and said, listen, my partner's hurt and there's nobody else I trust here but you, Rey. You're a Latino like me. We've had problems before, but brother, I need you. And Rey could have left them off, and they could have done that through the whole show, and then Rey says, well, you won me already, but don't screw me. And then the people would say, well, is Eddie going to screw him? And you're left with a lot of options. Rather than just throwing the guys together with no rhyme or reason why they're wrestling each other for 5 or 6 weeks and now they're partners.
Yeah, the details are lacking. You know, and that's one of the things when I do a training camp, Kevin, is as I tell the kids, I say, here's what you're missing. Facial expressions and body language.
Yeah.
That's the whole story. And instead, they're too busy remembering move 45, which comes after move 44,
right.
and I've got to get my stuff in. And it's not, you know, and I've said this on the show. I said, you know, everybody's talking about getting their crap, you know, getting they don't call it crap, and on the show we will, get their stuff in, you know.
Yeah.
I said, I don't even know what my stuff was. When I made a comeback, I built off of whatever the heel was doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I never went out to the ring with the idea that I've got to do this move or that move or I won't get over or the match won't get over. It was just to go out and have the best damn match you could have.
Yeah. And again, Doc, I hate to put Les over, but Les was a detailed man.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Sir Oliver Humperdinck was with me for a long time. He was a detailed man. I knew my weaknesses. One of my strong points is I can create. And when you create, sometimes you're not anal enough to understand that you do have weaknesses and maybe painting off the easel.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put your ego aside, it was like, Les would do it to me, but there's one particular one. When I was doing a TV in Florida one time, I looked at Humperdinck during the match and said, oh, you're doing that for you, huh? I said, what do you mean? He said, no one's going to get that but you. He said, that's an inside joke for you. So if you want to waste 8 minutes of TV, go ahead and put it on. I suggest you do something else because you're doing that for your amusement. And I think sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
Less guys don't have somebody there to watch over them. Like I said, like you'd be perfect to watch a show and say, hey, guys, last week you did this and this and this. Why? And force them to give you a reason. At least it may not be a legitimate reason, but find out where they're coming from. And I think now that these guys have let the shows are under, again, so much strain to get the show on, that they don't want to hear any negativity and be challenged on their thought process. Where I, it's not like I put myself over, where I was smart enough to know I wasn't that smart. So, and if you surround yourself with smart guys, like when I was booking in Florida, I mean, from superstar Billy Graham, you could name him, from Mulligan to Wyndham to Mike Graham to Mike Rotunda, from the opening match, I knew that these guys would come up with something for themselves. It may not be what I want, but I could tweak it and make it what flowed into the card.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You could take little bits and pieces. That was one of the things that don't. I know working in the office in Atlanta with Leo, the first time that I ever said, I just threw an idea out, and I was half teasing. Leo said, I like that. We're going to use it. And I almost passed out because usually a booker would say, that's a bad idea, and then you'd see your idea come up 6 months later, and somebody's finished, right? but I mean, that was the thing with Leo, and he would give you the credit for it.
Yeah.
And that, I think that was one of the things that I enjoyed working with him. I know the first time I ever went out to run a spot show for him, and I said, what do you want for finishes? And he said, how long have you been in the business?
And at the time, I don't know, it was 12, 13 years, whatever it was, and he said, don't you have finishes? And I said, yes. He said, well, that's why I'm sending you. He said, here, all I'm telling you is the main event. You can put this together. And it made me want to do something right because right. he had confidence in me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I had a similar situation. I was in Florida 2 years when I was a young boy and started as a babyface. So I'd been Tampa about a year and a half every week with Mike. Well, I was wearing out my welcome as a babyface. And especially in Tampa, they had done as much as they could with me. So on Tuesday night, they were in Fort Myers. You remember that, Les?
Sure.
So Eddie called me in the office and was very straight with me. He said, listen, you've been here a long time. I don't want you to go, but you need a break from the main club, Tampa. He said, until we can figure out what to do with you. Because Mike had taken some time off, and we had just lost the straps. And he said, I don't want to job you out. I use you to harm you because you've been, you know, part of the family here. And I'm going to give you Fort Myers to run. And this is the list of guys you can use. And he said, occasionally I may pull one of them from you. He gave me Slater and said, okay, this is the guys you have. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, that's why I'm sending you down there. He said, you figure out how to program the town. He said, whatever the figure was, $2,000, town was done. He said, in 8 weeks, I expected to be doing better. He said, and then 8 weeks later, we'll have a talk. So it was the day for me to go down to Fort Myers, and I came in. I said, is there anything I need to know, boss? He said, yeah, have a good show, have a good time, and keep it serious, and come back tomorrow and tell me how you guys did. And I was 22 years old and up down there. It was the longest 150 miles I ever drove in my life. I'm trying to think of everything, every mat move. And to the guys, and Slater pulled me over and said, hey, don't worry about it. We'll get through this thing, and you and I will shoot a program, and we'll do this tonight. I said, okay, Dickie, I'll just follow you. So.
Excellent. I had a question for you, Kevin. How did the transition happen between wrestler to manager?
The manager?
Yes.
Well, I always managed guys, too, for Dust when I was a heel because, and even with Les, because we would get guys that may be big and impressive and not have enough experience, especially when we were doing it for Blackjack, Les.
Right.
So we had a guy with limited experience. So I would go out to the ring with him and talk for him on the TV because that's the hardest thing to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with me out there, I could kind of direct him in the ring and also be a distraction. And with two guys out there, we could get away with the babyface getting over by my interference on a DQ, which I hated, but a collision with a babyface got 1, 2, 3, and we got up and stopped the mud hole. So we got the babyface over, but we still kept our heat, and that's how. Because I always managed somebody, even when I was wrestling.
Right.
What you did, Doc, when he did the devil worshiper, or whatever you want to call it, the gimmick in Florida.
The Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, a group of ministers contacted the office, did they not, Kevin?
Yeah.
And complained, wanted you off the TV because they took it as a shoot. But then that's the way it was sold, too.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't really see something like that anymore, you know?
Well, the other thing, Doc, and Les will tell you this, the character that I came up with didn't come out with the hood on and spouting all chewing on a betel nut and have been to the pyramids with the Lady of the Third Eye. That didn't come immediately.
Right.
That was a slow build-up. We started it with A, where I was a baby face, and Blackjack Mulligan's kid, Barry, was saying, I've seen this guy in other places, and it isn't the old Kevin Sullivan. This isn't what you think it is. And I kept on saying, Well, Barry, certainly your father did things in his time that weren't the best, meaning that he was a heel. The people knew he was at one time. I said I was confused, and I was going through a hard time in my life. And as this weeks went on, I started putting darker makeup on my eyes, looked like I'd been out without sleep. Mm-hmm. And then the lines were drawn. Some of the baby faces were for me. My friends, Mike Graham and Steve Kern, and some of the established baby faces were for me. But the younger baby faces and Blackjack and his crew were saying, don't trust them, don't trust them. So finally, the Florida title, whoever had it got hurt. I think it was Steve. And Barry and I wrestled for 58 minutes on TV. And Barry had done a move about 35 minutes into the match, and Mike Graham was commentating, and I took a bump outside the ring, and Barry held the ropes up for me, and I came back in the ring, and we shook hands. Then 10 minutes later, the exact same thing happened, and Barry took a bump to the floor, and I held the ropes, and as Barry's coming in, I field goaled his head off and beat him 1-2-3, mm-hmm. and they gave me the belt, and Mike Graham sold it like he'd gone to the electric chair and was screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? That is the way to win the belt. And he was sitting there in Gordon's chair, and I said, I'm going to get Mike for all these times. I took that belt and potatoed him, and when I did, his pants split open, thank God, because he started coming around the Gordon's table to kill me. But when he got around the table, his pants were down by his ankles. It gave me enough time to run away, but we built it. It was a course of probably 4 months, and then the character developed deeper and deeper and deeper. So it was like almost a soap opera turn where we were given the time, and when I finally put on the robe and had Mark and all these other weirdos, it made sense to the people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that, boy, I showed up with a black robe and stuff under my eyes and, you know, spouting off all this Asian mythology.
Right.
So, again, it was a build-up, and like Les is saying, there's no build-up.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling Doc about, was it Dusty Squall? It wasn't his real sister, but a girl.
Yeah.
You blinded her, right, with
right.
ink or something? What was it? Tell him about that.
Well, I had left the territory, and I was a lose-or-leave town match where I couldn't come back for 2 years. So I was gone for 4 months, and we came up with the idea of This Is Your Life, Dusty Rhodes. So all the baby faces out there giving them presents. We even had the mayor of Tampa come on. George Steinbrenner sent a telegram. We had a lot of celebrities on the show. And we had a curtain splitting Dusty, and then all of a sudden he heard a voice, and it was his sister, and said, Bubba, I haven't seen you. And Dusty's getting ready to wrestle Ric Flair two Saturdays in Lakeland. He was signing the contract with a fountain pen, a plume pen and ink. So finally he said, that's my sister, and was hugging her and kissing her, and everybody was looked like the end of the show on a high note. And I came in like Sirhan at the hotel in Los Angeles, and grabbed the ink bottle and went to throw it in Dusty's face, and he ducked, and it blinded his sister. Mm-hmm. So now he doesn't want anybody but me, but I'm suspended from the territory, and he can't get it. And we put the promoters together on the show to vote to lift my suspension. And, of course, the last one was Eddie Graham. It was tied 2-2. And he said, I'm doing this not just for Dusty, but for the good of wrestling. And they brought me back that night, and Dusty did the best thing he could have done. Dusty put me over in the middle of the ring in Lakeland. So we were off and running. So there was a storyline almost continuously, and that's why, you know.
Just flows.
Yeah, it was like a seed, and you would light a plant, and it would grow.
Mm-hmm. We got some questions in the chat room. The Mark 66, he says, please ask the Taskmaster what he thinks of the McMahon angle, and if he thinks WWE's going downhill.
Do I think they're going downhill? No, there's no competition, so there's nothing to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's no disrespect to TNA, you know. But he's got the marketplace locked up. And again, he's producing so many shows. It's hard for them. It's like I said before, there isn't anybody overseeing it
mm-hmm.
and saying, hey, guys, let's start and go back. We got this captive audience. Let's start and go back. And maybe we won't change everything at once, but let's start slowly and let's get things more deliberate, meaning more.
Another question there. They said, ask Kevin about being in the Dungeon of Doom and how you liked working with Hogan.
Oh, I mean, it was an experience. I mean, you know, I was there and with Hulk, and he's the one that made professional wrestling. We can say whatever we want about Hogan, but, you know, before Hogan, we were regional. He made it fashionable for people to admit they're wrestling fans. And it was a great experience for me. I mean, I had a 2.5-year run with him, and it was great for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to see, you know, when he was over, like he was over, the building actually moved, and Les will tell you that. It's really easy to work with somebody that's over. You don't have to do much.
Mm-hmm. DeCapo says, to make your Prince of Darkness character more believable, did you dabble in the occult?
Well, it was the 80s. And I read a lot of books. I did read a lot of books. That's one thing I've always prided myself on. If I was going to take a character or develop a character to manage, I would read where the guy was supposed to be from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm from Singapore, I better know something about it.
Right.
And I better know their culture, and I better know some of their religion and history. So, did I dabble in it? Yeah, I read a lot about it, but did I dabble in it? Nah, I mean, you know.
Right.
You know what? Every time somebody hangs somebody up in the corner, I hear one of the announcers say, he's got him in the Tree of Woe. I laugh because that's the first. I guess you're the one that originated. It's the first place I ever heard it.
Yeah.
Me too, yeah. Miss Destiny says, did you ever meet Sherry Martel, and if so, what was she like in person?
Sherry was a wonderful lady in the wrestling business, lost a wonderful talent, a wonderful lady.
Yep.
I had some of my fondest memories on the road with Sherry. Sherry always would make you laugh. She always had a smile on her face, and she was one of the hardest workers and one of the best workers I've ever seen. She was a perfectionist.
You know, Kevin, I just said at the top of the show, I said a lot of the young guys today could learn from her in terms of work ethic and bringing passion to the table to do the best of what you're doing.
Oh, Les, I mean, when she came to WCW, I can remember a match when she was with Flair. To save Flair, she climbed up a cage with her dress on and high heels and dove off the top of the cage onto Rick's opponent, and I think it was Dusty.
Wow.
I mean, she was a classy lady, and I'll miss her, and I know the wrestling fans will too, because, as Les said, her work ethic,
right. Everybody
could learn from her.
Kevin, you're in semi-retirement right now, but you've got a new gym.
Yeah.
Or not a new gym, but you have a gym.
Yeah, we're on our sixth year. It's Froggy's Fitness. And it's in Tavernier, Florida. It's part of the Florida Keys. I'm the biggest fitness center in the Florida Keys. And if someone wants to look on the website, it's froggiesfitness.net. And we've been doing pretty well with it.
Froggiesfitness.net, guys. Check that out.
Are you still lifting?
Yeah.
Good.
Excellent.
Every day.
Good, man.
Kevin, I want to thank you for being on. You guys can check out Kevin's new DVD. It's called Guest Booker. With Kevin Sullivan at kayfabecommentaries.com.
Thank you, guys.
Listen, you have to come back, and we've got several hundred more years we can talk about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Thank you. I will, Les.
Love you, brother.
I love you too, Les. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kevin Sullivan, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. It's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, Les, we've got hopefully the long-awaited interview with Doug Basham.
Yeah, he and I have been playing phone tag for the last week. So.
You haven't gotten a hold of him yet?
Well, he called, left a message. I called back there and left a message. But he's probably been on the road since they had the pay-per-view this weekend. So.
Yeah. It's a busy week, but yeah, he's going to be here with us next week, guys, so check it out. Enjoy ECW that's coming up next if you're on the East Coast, and we'll see you next week, guys.